WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and Sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell, along with, we got the whole gang together for you today, along with Rick Moore, Tim Kearns, and Andy Carboni, plus a couple of our favorite guys, Bob and Ray, will be by with a great baseball story as baseball creeps closer and closer to us. Andy Carboni will be by. He's got the very latest. We talked to him last night on the Red Sox and Major League Baseball. Some breaking news yesterday with the team. They're getting ready for their opener in Cleveland, and they're up in Montreal this weekend for a couple of games against Toronto to close out the preseason. So they're flying north, and right now it looks like some great weather here for the next couple of days in our area. Rick Moore will be by with a couple of updates from the Cape Ann area on the news front, and then Tim Kearns will join him to talk about some of these news stories from around the area and from beyond. And first of all, let me just begin with a couple of stories here, locally here. Front page Salem News out of Beverly. And this is a story that's been in the paper, or related stories have been in the paper. But the Elks Club, this is from Paul Layton. The Elks Club in Beverly on Tuesday became the latest in a long line of Beverly social clubs to acknowledge their gambling problem. Appearing before a Massachusetts Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission in Boston, the club's lawyer and manager admitted the club was making about $1,100 per week in profits from five illegal gambling machines. That's $1,100 a week. State investigators discovered that the machines in full view next to the bar during a November 30 raid that included four other Beverly clubs, like the Union, Italian, and American Legion clubs. Before them, Elks officials did not dispute the fact that the machines were being used for gambling and now await their punishment. The club is eager to get this behind them, said Elks Club attorney James Dangora. And the Beverly Franco American Club was also scheduled for a hearing on gambling charges Tuesday, but that was postponed until April 19th. So all the details on that story in today's edition of the Salem News. As we cross over to the daily item in Lynn, front page story, top of the page, Swampscott requests game plan for blockage. So this is Gayla Colley's story, and the deadline for the design firms to submit plans for the artificial turf field project at Bloxage Field is Thursday. Gino Cresta, someone we talked to on our program probably about a month ago now, director of public works at the DPW, said a request for qualified, that's the RFQ, was put out earlier this month, and only design firms were present. So they're looking for designers for this, but they did have a number of people that are looking to do this. So we'll see what happens there. But that project moving forward, and we'll keep updated on that. It's probably about time for us to get back and check in on some of that stuff with them. And finally, one other story before we head up to Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. There's been progress in addressing concerns over the alleged past harassment of Latino voters in Salem. This is from Dustin Luca in today's front page of the Salem News. But many argue that there's more work to be done overall, and time is running out. The City Council's Government Services Committee met Tuesday night to discuss voting accessibility at Salem's polls for the coming year through this particular lens of elderly voters, voters with disabilities, and voters with language barriers. The conversation was called for by Ward 4 Councilor David Epley, and in part called attention to the introduction of early voting in Massachusetts this year. Epley had requested the meeting before serious allegations were thrust into the public spotlight last month by the city's Latino leadership. More on that story in today's Salem News. So those are some of the stories making news. Rick Moore and Tim Kearns standing by with a few more stories for us today on North Shore Today. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Locally on Cape Ann, a couple of things to look at in the local paper. Headline from Ray Lamont says that the city of Gloucester will be joining the queue for school money, and guess what? They need some renovations or rebuilding of two elementary schools. And, of course, this is after they let the Fuller School rot, but that's another story. There will be a public hearing before the Gloucester School Committee on the proposed fiscal 2017 school budget of $40.2 million on Thursday, March 31 at 7 p.m., and that will be at the School Administration Building at 2 Blackburn Drive. That's the old Cape Ann Medical Center building. But Beeman, East Gloucester Schools, the high school, all in need of drastic repairs or rebuilding. And there'll be a special town meeting in the town of Rockport that has been moved to April 13 after a notification mistake, apparently. The town meeting will be Saturday, April 30 at 9 a.m., and it will be at the Rockport Middle High School. An exact location will depend on how many show up. So there you go. I think that's about it, but I'm going to bring in Tim Kearns here, as Tim is our resident historian and constitutional expert and, of course, our great sports analyst. And, Tim, aside from what's happening in the news, maybe we can check that in a minute, but the thing that jumps out to me in sports is I heard and read that the National Football League is asking the New York Times to retract a story on concussions, and I'm not sure I've ever heard of anything like that before.
Well, I guess the allegation is they felt they've been defamed by the story. Obviously, this is a league under Roger Goodell's tenure that is more concerned about its image than about the health of its players or other truthful endeavors. You know, they talk about the integrity of the league. When it comes to Tom Brady and the accusation of the deflation of footballs in the Super Bowl in the playoffs a couple of years back. But in terms of overall integrity, they seem to lack it in so many different areas in terms of, again, open and honest policy and information regarding the health of their football players and the impact of concussions that they do have on the players. It is a violent sport, and you play that sport, you know, of your own volition. No one forces you to strap on the pads and go out there and bang heads as a matter of a career. But that career should be one in which the environment is as safe as possible. And to deny the research that the New York Times provided, and certainly it's one of the most reputable newspapers in the country, because suddenly you don't like the image that's being portrayed of you by that new story, well, you're responsible for that new story. You're responsible for those facts. You're responsible for the bad science that you've obviously produced in order to get the desired results. And now they want to retract. They're threatening other legal action if they don't get a retraction. And looking at the Times story, you know, we have nothing to retract. We did our story. We did the research. We presented the facts as we found them, and the NFL is going to have to live with that. And what the NFL is trying to avoid is, again, a lot of bad publicity because it's not good for the image or the integrity of the league. And they also want to avoid potential lawsuits down the road. They've already, you know, set aside millions of dollars, but that millions of dollars, you know, in many people's eyes was way short of what's necessary, not only to conduct further research into protecting players better, but also in providing for the medical care of those who have been severely impacted by the concussion syndrome. Does every player suffer it? No. But when you have the numbers of players suffering the ill effects of multiple concussions throughout their careers, later in their careers, you've got to take a much stronger and honest look at the way that these players are protected.
It's almost like a presidential campaign from the owners talking about, you know, playing football is as safe as playing chess, Cersei and Jones. That's just kind of silly.
Well, let's pull out the chessboard, Rick, and then we'll crash heads as we try to figure out our next moves, and we'll see how safe it is. Yes. You know, it's a totally illogical argument. But again, when you're grasping at straws, those are the kind of really stupid things you find yourself saying. And then after you go like, why did I even say that? Because we look so bad.
I don't know if it was chess, but it was something like that. Tim, you know, the Red Sox open up. We can talk about that in a second here. They're opening up, what, in a few days now. But I know that in your history class, you always talk about this day in history. And obviously with a presidential campaign going on, big article in the Boston Globe, several articles, as a matter of fact, about Daesh or ISIS in retreat. What are some of the topics of the day that would interest you as a teacher?
Well, you know, certainly, you know, and I do present historical facts to the kids every day, and I tell the stories behind them, and quite a few kids always remember that one aspect of the class when they come back and talk to me. It just sort of opens up each day that they come into class to other things that have happened, just not in the area that, that we're particularly studying, because they're national. Some of them sometimes are local. They're international events that we cover. You know, certainly the campaign one has to look at it with a very discerning eye. You know, the candidates, you know, they're full of promises and rhetoric, and the rhetoric amongst, you know, certain individuals, especially amongst the Republicans, is very scary. It's very inflammatory. It's very derogatory. It's a very negative campaigning, which is what we've seen campaigns degenerate into over the last several elections, going back to, you know, thank you Karl Rove for coming out with the buckets of mud. We've never been able to put those buckets of mud away since that time. It's how much can I make my opponent look bad in trying to make myself look good? How about talking to the issues? How about talking to what your plans are to deal with the major issues, to deal with the economy, to deal with international terrorist threats, to deal with the social problems that still impact this country? We're not hearing solutions. All we're hearing are the rantings, and they're playing upon the raw emotions of a lot of people who are frustrated in a lot of different areas, and it's coalescing into this one anger that there's no solutions for. And if, God forbid, one of those guys gets into office, what plan are they going to have that's going to work? It's not going to work. You need a level head. You don't need the inflammatory stuff. And none of them are showing any level of maturity in this campaign.
You have a lot of 17- and 18-year-olds who will be voting this year for the very first time. Is there any response, Tim, or anything you see across the board that these kids are reacting to or how they feel? Is there any general consensus, or is it just yawn?
For a lot of the kids, I think it's yawn. For a lot of them at this time, they're not vested into the election, so they don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. You know, they're on their cell phones and they're on their tablets and they got the ears plugged in. And I constantly remind them, you have to become more aware. You have to begin to become vested in these issues, because in a year or so, you're going to be participating in the elective process. You're going to be putting officials into office, and you've got to be able to make good value judgments over who you're going to vote for. Do they represent your interest? How well do they speak to your concerns? You know, and you move that up to the state and the federal level, and it becomes even a larger concern. I said, you know, you guys should be looking at what these people are saying, because, God forbid, a draft comes back, you're going. You're going to find yourself serving your country. You're going to see the world, as the Navy likes to say. Join the Navy, see the world. You'll see the world, all right. Okay, you're going to end up in that big sandbox called the Middle East if certain candidates get into office and they manage to push through their plans to put more boots on the ground back in the Middle East. And with our military stretch, it's not implausible to say that a draft might come back. And if you are just working, they're going to give you a new job. So you've got to become more aware. You're going to get out into the workplace. You know, what jobs are going to be out there for you? What education is it going to require? Are you going to be able to afford to go live on your own? Are you going to be a stay-at-home kid for the next 30 years?
How much coffee do you generally have in the morning?
Well, since I changed my hot medication a couple weeks ago, I've been doing decaf.
But, oh, my goodness. All right.
But it doesn't take much.
Yeah, there's some caffeine in decaf, too. Okay, Tim, let's go back to sports for a second here. You know, it is an exciting time of year with baseball underway, basketball playoffs getting ready to start, hockey playoffs on the horizon, too. And then you got the NFL draft. So for the pro fan, a lot going on. But I don't know about you, but this Red Sox team does not inspire confidence. The stuff that's going on, you really can't tell from basic training or whatever it's called, spring training. But I'm not confident about where these guys are going. What's your take?
Well, I think basic training would be a good way to put it. I think the way that they've played so far this year, I think they're 12-19, something to that effect. Whoa. You know, they haven't had a good season, and it's mainly been down. There has been a lot of sloppy play, so I think they need to go back to basics. All right. But the pitching just has not been there. You know, it wasn't the most awe-inspiring of sights to see David Price give up a home run on his first pitch to like a career minor leaguer. He has pitched better, but the rest of the starting staff, oh my God. Mm. You know, they did just not performing.
Except for Joe Kelly.
Kelly got roughed up yesterday.
Did he? Well, he pitched yesterday?
Yeah, he got roughed up. He gave up a bunch of runs, several home runs. Oh, yeah. No one has gone out there and dominated. No one's gone out there and checked. Now, are you just trying to put the – and I thought to myself, well, maybe they're just trying to throw the ball in the strike zone, which they're doing a really good job of, obviously. But you get it as a major leaguer, you've got to be able to – you know, you work on throwing the ball over the plate in your side on your side practices. In the game, you've got to be a bit more precise. You've got to hit the pitches in certain in count situations where you want the pitch to go. Because as a pitcher, you want the batter to be hitting the pitch you want him to hit, which he's not going to get anything out of. Hits are all part of the game. Home runs are all part of the game. But again, as a major league pitcher and what these guys get paid nowadays, you should be near perfect every time out, in my opinion. You're not going to be. But you better be good enough to put your team in a position to win every time that you go out, and you should stay healthy enough to get out there. Position-wise, they're still juggling people around. And now I just saw in the paper today, Brock Holt's going to be the starting left fielder. This was the utility guy.
Yeah.
So no one has played well enough to claim that position, other than the guy that they're thinking, this guy is the next John Kennedy who can go and play anywhere. And God bless the kid. He's got more talent in all the gloves that he wears than a lot of these guys that are making the much bigger dollars. Because he is much more valuable to the Red Sox than some of the high price spreads that they've got working. You know, Mookie Betts is going to continue to get better. You know, Sandoval is going to continue to get fatter on the negative side of that. You know, they're going to find someplace else for him to play, and it's going to cost them a bundle to do it. Supposedly there's a couple of deals in the work, at least one deal, maybe in the work with Seattle. But you're getting a 35-year-old pitcher back with a four-year, $65 million contract, I don't think that's a real win-win on that one. They've just got to play better. You know, John Farrell has got to be squirming every time he sees his team take the field. Mm. Because they're just putting nail after nail in his coffin. And if he gets to if they start out really bad in April, by May 1, I think he's gone. And Torrey Lovello is back in the driver's seat.
Well, I don't see a World Series in the future. Tim, we got a couple more minutes left. You're back in baseball at Gloucester High School with a freshman, but I know that you keep an eye on the league. And of course, it seems to me it always starts in Danvers, and it always starts in Danvers and, you know, maybe Marblehead and Swampscott. How's it looking this year from your point of view?
Well, certainly, you know, Roger Day's team generally are the number one team. And of course, in the coaches' meetings, you know, and when I normally have interviewed in the past, it's no hitting, no pitching, no defense. I don't know how we're going to win a game. Then he goes and wins 20 games. He wins the league. He goes at least two rounds into the tournament, if not deeper. And you go, okay, Rod, so another sandbag job. Great. You know, there was only one year, several years back, we actually, I don't have anything, and they did struggle that year. But other than that, it's a bad job. You know, Danvers is going to be good. They're so well coached. They're so well disciplined. They don't beat themselves. You make an error, they're going to beat you to death with it. A walk is a double. A single is a double. A bunt puts a runner on third base, not on second base with Danvers. I mean, they are just such an aggressive team. But again, it's just being well schooled. Classical is supposedly loaded this year. They could challenge Danvers for the league. Again, it's all about consistency for Lynn Classical. Talent can take you a long way, but to get that far, you've got to have guys that go out there and do it on a consistent basis and being willing to be part of the team and not be concerned with what your own statistics are going to be. Play your game, play well, play within the concept of the team, and the team is going to have success. You're going to have more success. Everybody gets more notoriety. English is always tough. Joe Campanego puts out a really good team every year. Swampscott, again, a traditional power. Winthrop is just, they're dirt dogs. I love playing Winthrop. I love Winthrop. They're so blue collar. You get everything out of a Winthrop team. It's never an easy game.
In every sport.
In every sport. We've talked about this numerous times on the show and with the various coaches that we have talked to from Winthrop. It's a dogfight. So, you know, you've got to be aware there. Saugus was much improved last year. So you can see that a trend coming up. You know, again, in the Northeast Conference, any given day, anybody can beat anybody else. Marblehead has been, you know, has been really good of late. So you've got to bring your A game. You've got to be on your toes. You've got to make the plays offensively. You've got to make plays defensively. You can't beat yourself. The guys who make the least errors and give away the least on the offensive end are going to come out the winners. And so it should be another exciting year in the Northeastern Conference.
All right, we got to do this again.
I'm ready.
All right.
Let me get another cup of coffee.
I was going to say, I'll bring the coffee tomorrow. All right, that's Tim Kearns, and that's it from here, Bill.
All right, Rick, thank you. And Tim, great job. A lot of topics there on the program. Should point out one of the videos we have up on the website. Didn't mention this at the top of the program, but we have the video of Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, who was charged with, is it battery? Yeah, I think Jupiter, Florida just charged him with battery yesterday. But you see that whole incident there. That's the video released by the police department. And you make up your mind, but it's he does clearly grab the reporter by the arm and pull her back. And again, this is a big story around the country. And we'll see, I mean, there have been other incidents like this, I guess, and I've been hearing about this in other political circles throughout the months. But this one's definitely getting a lot of attention. But again, you make up your mind. Take a look at that video. We have it up there for you on the website today. Well, coming up just ahead, we're going to talk some sports, and joining us will be Andy Carboni, and also we have Bob and Ray will be joining us. Bob and Ray with some great baseball anecdotes from a long time ago that just hold up through the years. An amazing baseball story from Bob and Ray coming up here. So hang in there with us here on the program. We're right back with the Andy Carboni and some other sports news just ahead here on North Shore Today.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Josh Arnold's Trending Now.
What do you think of the presidential primaries now? I mean, it's you know, we've made it this far along. Any sense of how it's? Do you see anything coming out of this other than a Trump-Clinton square off in November?
Trending Now with Josh Arnold on MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio. Welcome back to North Shore Today. Our sports segment just ahead, Andy Carboni, who we talked with last night with some of the news and insight on the Red Sox as they gear up for the 2016 season. And also Bob and Ray will join us. Bob and Ray with one of the great baseball stories of all time. You just don't want to miss this story coming up, folks. We've been mentioning locally in sports, not a lot going on here yet. Some of the high school action starting up later this week and, of course, next week. But we've been mentioning the front page stories in the sports sections of the Salem News this week as they continue to honor their all-star teams from the winter sports season. And a little shout-out and salute to Bishop Fenwick's Colleen Corcoran, who is the Girls Basketball Player of the Year on the North Shore, according to the Salem News. She plays for Bishop Fenwick, averaged 12.5 points and 13 rebounds per game this year for Fenwick. They won the state championship. And a quote here, Colleen has gone from just a great athlete to a great basketball player, said her head coach, Adam DeBachis. She is just an incredible, smart, and has improved her skills so much. Freshman year, she was working on pure athleticism. Now she is more of a cerebral player. The Beverly native led the team in rebounding and averaged a double-double throughout the postseason run. A three-sport athlete, Corcoran will be continuing her basketball career at Division II Lemoyne College in New York State. So congratulations to her on winning the Salem News Player of the Year for Girls Basketball. Meanwhile, as we peruse back over to the item sports section, they are continuing their series. They've done a number of them already this week, spring sports previews. They got Revere softball, Big Blue Swampscott baseball, and other things going on today in their sports pages. Well, just ahead, Andy Carboni, and then Bob and Ray will join us with a great baseball story as we continue on. The sun is out today, and people are thinking baseball, among other things, I guess, on this Wednesday. MSO News Sports Now, our baseball insider Andy Carboni joins us. And Andy, on this Tuesday, a lot of Red Sox breaking news, a story out that Brock Holt, I guess, is going to be seeing a lot of left field action this year. Maybe platooning with Rusney Castillo. Does that sound right to you?
That's the word out there. John Farrell has been quoted saying he's going to see plenty of time out there. He's not strictly saying that he's the starting left fielder, but obviously if you take that in consideration, there's more right-handed pitchers than left-handed pitchers, and so Holt's a left-handed batter, so that means he's going to be your starting left fielder on opening day. The question's going to be, what do they do with Rusney Castillo? Because they brought in Chris Young from the Yankees last year, who was a free agent, to be the left fielder against left-handed pitching because he hits left-handed pitching so well. So Castillo, to me, he's becoming your fifth outfielder with Young being the fourth outfielder. I mean, he can spell Bradley in center field maybe against a lefty with Young in left. They could do that. There's a couple other options. Of course, with Holt, you can move him around still. He can play everywhere to get Castillo's bat in the lineup here and there when you need to. But I don't think many Red Sox fans, I definitely didn't see this coming at the start of spring training, that Brock Holt could end up unseating Rusney Castillo for that left field job.
No, not at all. And the other outfielders then would be Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts. They'll be the regular starting outfielders in right and center field.
Absolutely. Those are the two entrenched there, and hopefully will be for a long time to come as they keep improving in their young careers.
Other news from manager John Farrell on this Tuesday was that David Price will be the starting pitcher. No surprise on opening day in Cleveland on April 4th. And Clay Buchholz is number two. 2 days later, on the 6th, he'll be starting, but after that, it's still up in the air, correct?
Still up in the air. Not surprised with Price and Buchholz 1-2. We kind of saw that coming. 3, 4, 5, you can throw the names in the air, and how it comes down, you can throw it out there. It's probably going to end up being Porcello, Kelly, and then Wright as your fifth, or Kelly, Porcello, and then Wright as the fifth starter. Something to that effect. I'm not sure with the days off if they need a fifth starter right away, so Wright might actually not get a start till maybe the second week into the third week of the season. He could be using long relief. So we'll see how that plays out. But, Joe Kelly had been having a very strong spring. He got hit around pretty good today against the Twins. He gave up 4 runs in 4 innings, 8 hits, 2 walks, 3 home runs. Yesterday, Rick Porcello against Baltimore, he got whacked around as well. He gave up 3 home runs and 5 runs overall. His spring ERA is right around 9. He's really been struggling. So Buchholz has been hot and cold so far. But, again, it's spring training. Who knows? But prospects don't look that bright for the starting rotation as they break camp and head out to Cleveland.
No. Any other notes about this year's Red Sox team right now? We're not covering everything. Oh, I know, third base. That's still up in the air, right?
Yeah, that's still a fluid situation as well. They were saying that Travis Shaw will get some time at third base to kind of light a fire under Pablo. Pablo came back today and actually played against the Twins, went 1-for-3. So his first third base action in probably about a week or so. So that's still up in the air. It's funny, once they kind of said that a week ago, Shaw went into a little bit of slump in spring training. So that's still an open situation. We'll see how that plays out. A little other side note that they decided to put Christian Vasquez on the disabled list to start the season. So they'll give you Swihart and Hannigan as your catchers. And once Vasquez is ready, I'm sure they'll send him down to AAA after a little bit of a rest here. And eventually he's going to work his way back into the lineup. So there's a lot of little things out there. I mean, you got Carson Smith, who's on the DL to start the year as well. Obviously, that was supposed to be a big key piece of the Red Sox bullpen. So it's not exactly the Florida trip that Red Sox fans hoped for once the spring got started.
Hey, Andy, there was a story on the Sunday Nick Cafardo article, the baseball column that he writes every Sunday in the Globe, about a Red Sox trade that never happened. But maybe you could share that with us, because there seems to be some legs or truth to this deal, correct?
Well, technically, it wasn't a Red Sox trade per se. It was a trade that was going down between the Expos and the Yankees.
Okay.
Current Florida Marlins owner, Miami Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria at the time was the owner of the Montreal Expos, and he wanted Derek Jeter in the worst way. And he told his GM Jim Beattie, whatever it takes from our farm system, major league team, I want Jeter. And so Jim Beattie proposed to Brian Cashman, Vladimir Guerrero, Pedro Martinez for Derek Jeter. And Cashman just flat out said, I can't trade Derek Jeter. And that would have obviously changed the landscape in Red Sox history if that trade would have happened, because obviously Pedro doesn't come here eventually. He doesn't get traded to Boston. He gets traded to the Yankees, and who knows what would have happened then. But a very intriguing story and offer that was thrown out there. It makes you think a little bit.
Good. All right, Andy, anything else to share with us on any other observations from around all of Major League Baseball?
Former Red Sox outfielder Shane Victorino trying to come back with the Cubs this year. He got released today. And then, of course, you had David Murphy, who was trying to latch back on with the Red Sox as a spare outfielder. He has his release on Monday. He has 48 hours, the Red Sox, do to give him his outright release, let him go, or potentially trade him or offer him a spot on the roster. He had that out clause in his contract when he signed in spring training. That's really not a surprise. As we've discussed, the Red Sox have a lot of moving parts in the outfield. Shaw can play out there. You can have Holt out there. You still have Castillo. Really isn't a need for David Murphy right now, so we'll have to see what happens there. But, you know, the countdown's on to opening day. It's right around the corner. Monday's the day, and definitely looking forward to it.
Gotcha. That's our baseball insider, Andy Carbone, with us right here on MSONewsSports.com. This is North Shore Today, our sports segment, and we're going to tag our program today with Bob and Ray, with their understated humor and talking about baseball and talking about old-time baseball, because these old great baseball stories come out, and this is one you'll never forget, a story like this one you're about to hear, folks.
Pleasure for us to welcome another great baseball figure to our Bob and Ray booth this afternoon. One of the great first basemen of all time with the old Highlanders,
That's right, the old Highlanders.
And later manager, Frankie Papp. Frank, it's a pleasure to have you in here today.
Pleasure to be back, and I would like to say that I enjoyed that anecdote very much.
They tell me, Frankie, you've got quite a few anecdotes of your own.
Great many anecdotes. I have found through the years that baseball anecdotes go down through the years.
That's right. In other words,
if it happened to happen to Doubleday in 1890, it's sure going to happen to Walt Dropo in 1955.
Well, I guess that stands to reason. Frankie, tell us what you remember as one of the most maybe embarrassing moments you ever had on the playing field.
Well, it's an anecdote much like Leo told here recently on your program. And it was the first day I was in the big leagues. I come up to bat, and the first time up, I was a little shaky up there, and I was a little slow on getting signals at the time. I was trying to remember them. It was my first day. I remember the third base coach had tipped his hat. That meant something. The first baseman would bend over and pick up a stone. That meant something.
That's right.
And so forth.
Go ahead. There you were, standing up there and trying to remember the signals and trying to figure
out. Well, I was up at bat. I swung left-handed. And the pitch out there to mine, I don't know if you remember him.
No, I don't. But go ahead.
And he was out there. He wound up and they let them come in there. I could hardly... Well, in fact, I couldn't see it.
Uh-huh.
And the stands around me, send the bump back.
Kind of trying to rattle you a little bit, Frankie, huh?
That's right. And behind the plate, you probably remember him, the umpire.
Yes, I do.
And it was three high, hard ones. They went right by me, three called strikes. Well, I was mad. I took my bat and I threw it way up.
Uh-oh.
Way up.
Pretty outward sign of anger there.
It went up above the second tier of stands.
Uh-huh.
And the umpire said to me, young man, I was a young man then.
Sure.
He said, young man, if that bat comes down... you're out of the game.
Well, there's a real baseball story, if I ever heard one. And I know that you've got a lot more, Frankie Papp, but it certainly has been nice talking to you.
It's been swell.
And that'll go into the annals, I'm sure. Thanks for dropping by.
Will this be buried in Washington?
All right, so maybe I built that story up just a little bit too much for you folks. Bob and Ray, and if that bat comes down, you're out of here. All right. Well, you don't hear stories like that every day on the radio or on the internet or wherever you might be. Hey, I got to point out one thing. If you missed this is if you missed anything this week, if you missed our show yesterday where we featured Heidi Dallin from the Gloucester Stage Company, there's a complete post up on our website. You got to check this interview out. It's just a fantastic interview Rick did with her. and what goes on at the Gloucester Stage Company and some of the things about her. Just a fantastic interview. You got to listen to that interview no matter where you are, whether you're in Gloucester, Lynn, Winthrop, or maybe in Missouri. That could be. And don't forget, contact us. We do like to hear from you. Contact us through the email at msonewsports@gmail.com. So with Rick Moore, Tim Kearns, Andy Carboni, and Bob and Ray, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Wednesday. This is North Shore Today on MSO News Sports. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.